south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, in response to all you listeners out there who send me emails all the time wanting to know about the vaccination policies down here in Latin America, well, first of all, I can tell you that there are do-gooder groups out in force going out to the boonies and trying to vaccinate the hell out of all the short little dark brown people. In fact, I have yet to meet any Latin person from the bottom to the top of the economic heap who doesn't think vaccinations are the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yep, it's certainly that lag time effect and the gringo advantage again. I remember when I was a kid back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you couldn't find a single American who didn't think vaccines weren't miracle drugs. The thought that they'd hurt or even kill people was completely out of the question. So you could say, down here in Latin America, it's like the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Everyone buys the first world party line that vaccines are the absolute way to go. Anyway, that said, I actually ran into a United Nations do-gooder health service kind of guy, spewing the usual vomitous United Nations and World Health Organization crap, toeing the line. By the way, driving a brand new, double cabin, white, squeaky clean Toyota Hilux pickup truck. That's standard issue for all do-gooder types stationed down here, by the way. And you know what? So obvious are these guys and gals in poor neighborhoods where the average person doesn't even have a car, much less a motorcycle. Sometimes, you know, when I pass a car like that, which is generally parked at night, surprise, surprise, parked in front of an upscale watering hole or the nicest hotel in town, or hooker club, I've seen that too. How they get away with that stuff, huh? Well, that's because they're on so-called do-gooder missions and no one's there to check them out. Especially where they love to congregate, way off the gringo tourist trail out in the boonies. And you know, I've often thought the next time I see one of those things parked in front of an upscale restaurant or hooker club, I'd like to bust out the windows or put a few knots in the UN guy's head with his selfie stick. But I'm not that kind of guy. Though you can dream, can't you? Anyway, this young UN guy was a pretty nice guy, by the way, though thoroughly brainwashed and deluded into thinking that the UN is the world's savior. That aside, he showed me a printed list in Spanish explaining all the vaccinations that kids were supposed to get in Latin America. You know, the UN and the World Health Organization guidelines for vaccinating people in third world countries. Now remember, these are only guidelines, and the truth is, this UN Medical Corps guy told me about half, that is 50% of all Latin American children never actually get those vaccines, and if they do, they're often way past their expiration date. So I guess that means we should call the 800 number of the hideous Bill Gates Foundation. They'll come down and fix everything now, won't they? Remember, their mission is to vaccinate people to death in Africa, and they're succeeding. Anyway, let me read you the guidelines here for vaccinating young children in Latin America. That is the minimum required vaccine schedule for the sweaty masses. Now, for upscale Latins and gringo wannabes, it's a bit different. Naturally, since their kids go to private schools and they follow U.S. guidelines, they'll send bulletins off to the parents saying that kids have to come back from their summer vacations with a doctor's note saying they've got their proper battery of vaccines. The goal being, of course, for upscale Latin kids to become just like their autistically prone, hyperactive ADD first world kid analogs. So those upscale, clueless Latin American parents are perfectly fine with loading up their own kids with vaccines to the point of toxicity. If it's good enough for gringo kids, they want it too. Anyway, let me translate this list of recommended vaccines for Latin American kids. Okay, first, when a kid is born, he gets the BCG and hepatitis B vaccination. So then what's a BCG vaccination? Oh, you're going to love this. It's called Bissell Calmet Guerin vaccine. It consists of a live strain of bovine bacteria. Yep, that means it contains bacteria from a cow. So what's it do? It's a vaccine that's supposed to prevent tuberculosis and other mycobacterial infections. Then, at 2 months, the kid gets his first rotavirus shot. Then the kid gets his first pentavalente shot. So what's that? Well, for the uninitiated, penta means five, so that means it's a blast of five combined vaccines. One against influenza type B, which is flu, right? Two, whooping cough, which is pertussis. Three, tetanus. Four, hepatitis B. And five, diphtheria. Also, when 2 months old, the kid gets a polio boost. Then, if and when the kid recovers, at 4 months, they get that rotavirus booster number two, that pentavalente 5-in-1 vaccination boost number two, along with their second polio boost. Then, if the kid survives to 6 months, they get the third whack of that pentavalente, that 5-in-1, and they get polio number three. Then, at 12 months, they get the equivalent of the MMR shot. That's mumps, measles, and rubella. Then, at 18 months, they get DPT. That's diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, along with another polio blast. So, the United Nations and WHO, along with practically every single Latin American country's Ministerio de Salud, that's Minister of Health, have authorized a total of approximately 30 vaccination doses by the time a kid hits 18 months. Sounds pretty nasty, I know, but remember, more than half the kids in Latin America are not current at all with this schedule. And who knows about all those injections that are well beyond their expiration date? Now, if that doesn't scare you, listen to this. About a month or so ago, I was talking to an ex-U.S. Marine who told me that before he and his group went into the Gulf War, and we're talking about the first Gulf War here. When was that? The early 90s? Anyway, for 5 days in a row, he and his crew got injected 3 times a day with multiple unknown cocktails of combined vaccines. That means 15 different vaccine cocktails in 1 week. Thank you, Uncle Sam. But back to Latin America. What should you do if you bring a kid down? Or have kids down here yourself? Well, thankfully, down here, parents are still in control, and if you don't want vaccines for your kids, it's still a case where it's up to you and there are no vaccine police. However, if your kids happen to go to a public school, which is never recommended, you know, government-run school, the chances are very good that do-gooders from some organization, usually up in the States, will show up, herd all the kids into the cafeteria, and blast away. So how do you get around that? Down here in public schools, they don't pass out parental consent forms, especially when a good percentage of the parents of kids in public schools can't read themselves. Don't laugh. Expat Eddie's future mother-in-law is illiterate. I'm not kidding, but we won't tell anyone, will we? So then what if you have kids down here and they attend private schools or one of those high-buck helicopter schools? Well, of course, they're going to give parents vaccination guidelines, etc. And in fact, one gringo married to a Latin down here told me that he just had to bring in a letter, any kind of letter, scratched on anything basically, from a doctor or even a nurse saying his kids had the required vaccines. And since he's an enlightened, intelligent gringo, he knows better than to give his kids vaccines. And his Latin wife, well, she's a nice person, but totally clueless, and she follows his lead, which is good. So guess what he did? He downloaded a prescription form from the internet in English. He photoshopped it, signed it, as if he was a nurse, and that was plenty. It worked fine. He said no one really looked at it, and they didn't really care as long as they had a piece of paper to stick in their files. In fact, he said he handed it to this secretary at the school who doesn't speak English anyway, so it meant nothing to her. She just filed it. Like he said, it worked like a charm. So down here in Latin America anyway, you can either buy the corrupt company line, like 100% of Latin parents do, you know, the UN, WHO, all those do-gooder charities, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, malignant cesspool, who, of course, follow the U.S. Department of Public Health vaccination guidelines. Or else, you can just make up your own rules as you go along, like so many of us gringos do. Why not? There's no enforcement. There's no vaccination police. Like my gringo buddy says, don't put up a stink, just Photoshop. I repeat, for better or for worse, there is no FDA and no trace of a Nazi-style vaccination enforcement squad. Nope, it's nothing like it is up in the States. However, Latins, even so-called knowledgeable, educated Latins, are years behind in their knowledge of vaccinations and all the problems therein. Again, it's all about the gringo first world wannabe syndrome. You know, it is a Latin goal to copy everything that the first world gringos do. And believe me, you can't fight it. You can't try to explain and use logic. I've tried. Many gringos and expats have tried, but it's no use. What I mean to say is that if you're sitting at an upscale party with a bunch of so-called educated Latins, I'll bet you $1,000 to your one that the subject of vaccines and their inherent problems will never come up. Nor will the subject of the housing bubble that's staring them right in the face every single day. Nor will they ever discuss derivatives, they don't know what they are, or the imminent collapse of the first world fiat money banking system, since Latins believe the US dollar is still backed by gold. Well, you get the picture. Oh, and by the way, you'll never ever hear any negative comments coming out of a Latin's mouth about President Obama, or even Hillary Clinton. Because, you see, something like 80% of Latinos who can vote up in the States, even ones who can't, vote Democrat. They always have. So that kind of lunacy is rooted firmly down here in Latin America, too. Even so-called educated Latins with degrees and diplomas, when asked, affiliate themselves with Democrats up in the States. It turns out in colleges and universities down here in Latin America, they do review the various political systems, especially in the U.S., because everyone eventually wants to live in Miami, right? The Latins that remember anything they've learned in those classes remember the usual poop they shovel out in political science class, that Democrats have always been pro-little guy, pro-worker, and pro-union party. And the Republicans, well, they're just stodgy old conservatives, pro-business and anti-union. So it's futile to sit down with a Latin person, no matter how highly educated, and try to explain why there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and Republicans. You'll just get that deer in the headlights look that I'm sure a lot of you listeners are familiar with from your own discussions with people up in Seattle and Cleveland. Hey, I remember those discussions. Johnny, who are you going to vote for this time? Wrong question to ask. And you know, as it turns out, down here in Latin America, if you want to instantly get a deer in the headlights look, try this. When some supposedly educated Latin person with more than a lukewarm IQ asks you who you're going to vote for in the next election, if you were to say something like I used to say, which is, I vote for no one. In fact, I haven't voted for over 30 years. Voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for evil, so I don't bother. Well, don't do that, because Latins will look at you like you're a deviant anarchist, which is kind of a backhanded compliment, because I'd rather be called an anarchist than a Democrat or Republican. And really, all of us expats are deviants by definition. It's true, because we deviate from the norm. And you know, deviant in a modern sense has traditionally negative connotations because of sexual deviance and all that, but you could be deviant in a good or a bad way. Look it up. Okay, let's get to a couple of emails now. Oh, and one thing about emails, you know, I get a lot of them, sometimes 300 of them in a day. A lot of them are spam and junk mail, of course, but I actually do get to read them all. Even you listeners out there who occasionally send emails that are 5 pages long, no lie. Now, I like to read the occasional email on the air that I think everybody's going to be kind of interested in, or most people. But for all you listeners out there who send me very detailed emails about your own situation, I just can't answer that stuff on the air. And I'd definitely get carpal tunnel if I started scratching out an email. For example, Johnny, what would be the neighborhood you would suggest that is the best living area in Cartagena, Colombia, for a person like me receiving $1,600 a month? Oh, and by the way, I'm a diabetic vegan with allergies and a deviated septum. I have $42,000 in the bank. What would be a good place for me to invest that money? And what bank or banks would you recommend I put it in for short-term safekeeping? I have a dog, so I'd like to be within 2 blocks of a nice park to walk him. And on and on. Now, I'm not kidding you, I actually get emails like that. And worse, and some in much more detail. And you know, it's not to say I can't answer very specific emails like that. I can. I've got friends all over the place down here. All I have to do is make a couple of quick phone calls and I can find out a lot of that stuff. So anyway, that said, I'm talking about generalities on my program here. And if you do need specific details about your own situation, where to live, work, play, retire, do business, and or just hang out, just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the consult link, and we can talk privately about your situation for a half an hour or so. And when people sign up for those personal consult phone calls, I always ask them to send me a prioritized list about what we're going to be discussing a couple of days before we do the call, so I can make certain inquiries when necessary. Anyway, that said, before I get into a couple of emails, I have a general comment about real estate in Latin America. Now, you know, I always recommend being off the gringo tourist trail because that's where you're going to get the best deals. However, As a general statement, I gotta say it's time to rent and not buy. I mentioned that before because we are in a huge real estate bubble practically throughout Latin America now. In fact, in some big Latin American cities, real estate is even more expensive than it is now up in the States. So don't expect to find any deals down here unless you find those desperate sellers. And there are lots of them around, but you got to be down here with boots on the ground to find them. You're never going to find them on the internet, nor are you going to find them by coming down and hooking up with a real estate agent. And I hope you know by now you're never going to get a deal if you hook up with one of the big franchise real estate companies like Century 21 or RE/MAX, who, like I've said before, are all over the place down here now. Now note, you definitely do not want to buy land or real estate in a Latin city or area where there are gringos selling the project or promoting it. That, my friends, is a huge red flag indicating the market is way oversold already. That's what you see in Costa Rica and Panama, for example. You look in the big glossy real estate magazines that come out every couple of weeks or a month, and yes, those didn't exist some years ago, but now they're everywhere. Go to any grocery store, usually at the checkout counter or where they're selling the daily newspapers. They'll have a big stack of free glossy real estate magazines, sometimes 5 or even 10 different kinds. Let me tell you, you'll find zero deals in those magazines. And like I just mentioned, if gringos are in on the deal, that should be your sign to turn tail and run. Now, I notice that gringos like to stick their big faces in the ad, too. It's a sign that you don't even want to be near the city or town or whatever where that gringo is promoting that property. Why, you might ask? Because it takes a good long time in any Latin real estate market for the gringos to start dipping their toes in the mix. Like, for example, when I first came down to Costa Rica some 25 years ago, there were no gringos at all selling real estate, only Latins. And now there's dozens, if not hundreds, of gringo real estate agents in Costa Rica. Everyone, of course, wants first world prices, and everyone's got to take a big commission. So why am I bringing this up? Well, I just got an email from some of my traveling gringo friends who are down in Colombia right now, and they sent me a full-color, glossy listing in English promoting a brand new gringo-style housing development in Cartagena. Now, gringo promoters have infiltrated Medellin, Cali, and Bogota, too. They're popping up everywhere. To me, it's a sign that we're at the top of the market. When you talk about Colombia, Medellin, Bogota, Cartagena, Cali, there are no more deals, unless you find a desperate seller and there are more and more of those guys popping up. But you need boots on the ground to investigate that stuff for yourself. Many early investors, not gringos of course, bought some years ago into multiple unit complexes. They saw what they thought as a never-ending boom coming. And now they're sitting on a lot of brand new real estate that's vacant. And soon enough, as maintenance fees drain their cash reserves away, they will become desperate sellers. Of course, only at the very end, after they tried everything else and tapped themselves out, will they be selling. First, they'll offer their places up for rent, at huge discounts too. And in the end, there won't be enough renters to go around either, so that's when a lot of really nice properties will be dumped on the market cheap. So the real estate bubble is cracking, and we're in that phase right now where it's a huge renter's market. But again, let me repeat, when you see gringos selling into the real estate market as promoters and developers, the game's over, believe me. Wait for the big washout. It's coming. And for all you gonna-bes and wannabes up there who are thinking, hey, I'll just buy some vacant land and build. Because I know, and Johnny says, you can build first world quality for $30 to $40 a square foot. And it's true. That means a 1,000 square foot house, $30,000 to $40,000. A 2,000 square foot house, $60,000 to $80,000. And that's very high quality too. However, land here is in a real estate bubble too, so you're not going to get any deals there. In fact, the price of land in some areas, including farmland, has doubled in the last 3 to 5 years. So, like I said, just wait and the deals will come. And the question is, how long you got to wait? Well, I'd say no more than 2 years, and I'm thinking maybe a year. Meaning that's when the air will really start rushing out of the bubble. So a lot of these big-time Latin investors, ones with a lot of cash, you know, narcos, scumbag politicians, and owners of big sugar and coffee plantations who just didn't want to put their excess money into the bank at 1% or 2%, they're the ones that have created this bubble, and they're not getting a return on their money at all, and they're now realizing this. In fact, the maintenance on these projects, because they're so inadequately filled, is killing them. So the question is, how long can these investors in these big projects hold out until they're completely tapped? That's when tons of these places are going to hit the market at one time. In fact, right now, I could take a drive, and in 20 minutes, I could pass a big, beautiful first world development project, a guarded subdivision where houses go for $150,000 to maybe $350,000. Now, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of such first world style developed projects within an hour's drive of any big Latin city, and they look perfectly fine and beautiful by day. Nicely done, well landscaped and manicured. But when you drive past them at night, there's almost no lights on in the units. How could that be? That means they're all built and done and ready to sell, but they've got no buyers. So then, when the bottom falls out of the market, do you want to live there? Even if you get it at 50 or 25 cents on the dollar? Nope. You don't want to live in a community or subdivision, no matter how nice it is, when you've got vacant houses all around you. You know what that leads to, right? So again, rent, rent, rent. And if you find yourself in a nice Latin American city, looking through the real estate ads, or better yet, have boots on the ground there, just beware when you see gringos selling and promoting projects in English. Know that if you buy, you're getting it at the very top of the market. The good deals are gone and everything's been picked over. You know about the greater fool theory, right? Well, you don't want to be that fool, which is exactly what's happening in Costa Rica right now. Longtime gringos there are telling me that when some gringo does sell their property, they thank their lucky stars there was a greater fool and they hightail it out of that country in a hurry. Usually to Nicaragua, by the way. Okay, now you probably remember a couple of shows ago I mentioned that in those 15 out of 20 countries I consider off the gringo tourist trail, you can count on the fact that Big Brother is not alive and well. In fact, it's only a figment of the imagination of idiot politicians who pass first world legislation in their own chaotic third world countries. The pinheads who pass those laws do not mingle with the regular people on the street. They have their mansions and bodyguards and SUVs and helicopters and beach houses in Miami. So they're living the first world life and then some, while their constituents make $300 a month. Now, if you remember, just a few shows ago, I mentioned that I was in a typical government immigration office in Latin America, and it was so chaotic and disorganized that there practically was no security at all. And I went through all the details on that, and I got a couple of emails after that saying, Johnny, it almost sounds like a bad Monty Python or Saturday Night Live skit. Maybe you just got there on an off day and happened to experience all that stuff. It just can't be like that all the time. How could they run a country like that? And that's why I'm going to read the following email that I just got a couple days ago. Now, let me set this up by saying, you know, lately I've been talking about two places in particular where it's pretty easy to get your temporary and permanent residency. That would be Paraguay and Guatemala. And since my latest expat wisdom seminar that took place about a month ago was in Guatemala, some of the people that came down decided to stay on for a couple more weeks and try to get their residency going. So let me read this email coming from two of the people who are going through that process right now. This one's called Observations on Being a Gringo in Central America. It says, Hi, Johnny. As you know, my wife and I are staying here in Guatemala after the Boots on the Ground seminar to get our residency process started. Here are some things we have observed about being gringos. You may have mentioned these gringo advantages on your show, but I'm not sure. Number one, at the Department of Migración, that's immigration in Guatemala City, there is a full body scanner that one walks through before entering the building, and there are armed guards stationed there. On our first visit, I was concerned that my pocket knife and Leatherman multi-tool, which I always carry, would cause a problem and be confiscated. I just forgot to leave them in our place before setting out that morning. We also each had a day pack type of backpack on, too. Well, I walked through and the buzzer sounded and, well, nothing. Nothing happened at all. We just followed our legal assistant on through and went to the room where our paperwork was being processed. On another occasion, we walked around the outside of the scanner, completely bypassing it and just headed right up the stairs to the room we needed to go to. The scanner buzzes for everyone and I could see some purses being searched. But never in three visits so far were we asked to hand over our backpacks or to remove knives, etc. And believe it or not, another place where we simply are given a pass as clueless gringos is at the main big supermarket called Bodegonia in Antigua, Guatemala. It's a large grocery store and we have been there several times for food and supplies. The first time we walked in with our backpacks on, We just walked right past the table and lockers where apparently you're supposed to have your purses and packs checked by the guard and left behind in a locker where they give you a number. I didn't hear the guard say backpack as we just walked on by, but my wife did. And we just kept on walking and trucking and did our shopping. We have been there several times since, and we just obliviously cruise right on past that check-in station and go shopping. Now, another place where the gringo advantage kicked in was a bar that was located on a busy street in Guatemala City. We were going there with a new expat friend, the notorious Captain Mango. You may have heard of him. And he and I were patted down by an armed guard, but my wife just stuck her hand out and shook his hand. Hello, I'm a gringa. Nice to meet you, too. And yes, we had our backpacks on there, too, and they were not looked at all. Some security, huh? And one more quick story. We rented a very nice condo in Antigua, and when the husband and wife owners stopped by to ask if everything was fine, we said yes, but that there was no hair dryer for my wife to use. Well, the owner's wife started searching and didn't find one either, and said to my wife something like this. She said, "It's missing, but it couldn't have been gringos. Gringos don't take things." Anyway, just wanted to share these latest observations and experiences. Let you know of any others as time goes by. Signed, a happy, anonymous couple seeking peace, fun, serenity, and residency somewhere in Central America. So there we have again a great example how government works or doesn't work in Latin America. Somewhat like a Three Stooges flick. So it's true, all Latin countries would love to have a first world big brother government just like the U.S. And some on the tourist trail spots like Costa Rica and Panama have geared up and have some first world equipment at the airports, etc. But when you're off the gringo tourist trail, it's just laughingly obvious that they're getting nowhere in the big brother department. So you gotta love it. And the fact that the gringo advantage is alive and well. Oh, and before we finish today, here's another reminder that Richard Martin is having his Southeast Asia seminar. So if you happen to be of the mind to be an expat in a completely English-speaking environment, and would like a chance to learn about Richard's favorite city, Penang, just give him a call at 702-609-9962. Or send him an email, rwlmartin1@gmail.com. His seminar, again, is from August 23rd to the 28th.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files. Living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.